The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Kisove. In the Parsha, in Perek Chof Zayin, Posuk Yud Aleph, Vayitzav Moshe Eso Om Bayemahu Lemor. And Moshe commanded the people on this day, saying, Eile Yamdu Levorech Eso Om. These should stand to bless the nation, Al Hag Grisim, Bovrechem Es HaYarden, when we cross the Yarden and go into Eretz Yisrael. Shimon Levi Yehuda Vishocha, Yosef Vinyamin. They should go up and stand on that mountain. Eile Yamdu Alav Klola Baharevol. And these should stand on the curse, the others on the brocha, and these on the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zvulun, Dov, and Naphtali, on the mountain of Abel. V'ono Levim v'Omru, and the Levim with the Aron HaKodesh should be in between. And they shall say, Al Kol Ish Yisrael Kol Ram, to the whole nation in a loud voice. And what they would do is they would go through this list, which is brought following in the Torah. See, Rashi explains. The Gemara in Seita brings Daf Lamed Vov. Shishoshvotim Ola Reish HaGrizim. Six tribes went up to the Mount Grizim. This is when they would go into Eretz Yisrael. Shishol Reish Har Evel. Six would go to the top of the mountain of Evel. V'hakahanim v'alavim v'aroren lamata b'emsa. And the Kahanim and the Levim and the Oren, the Ark with the Sefer Torah would be in the valley in between. Hofku Levim Peneim Klapi HaGrizim Uposku Bebrocha. The Levim would turn their faces towards the Mount Grizim, and they would start with a Brocha, and they would say, Borecho Ish Asher Lo Yaseh Pesel Maseiko. Blessed is the man who will not make any type of idol or molten image and so forth. Ve'elu ve'elu onin omen. And then everyone would answer Amen on both mountains. Chazru v'hofku peneim klapi har Evel. Then they would turn their faces towards the Mount Evel. Uposke beklolo. And they would begin with a curse, the Aimrim. And they would say, Oro isha she yaseh pesel. Cursed is the man who will make an idol and so forth and so forth. And everyone would answer Amen. V'chein kulam. The whole list. And then we have a list here of he who would make a molten image, he who would shame his father or mother, he who would steal land from his fellow man by moving the boundary posts, he who would mislead someone by giving him the wrong advice, he would to take advantage of the convert or the orphan or the widow, and so forth and so on. Now the question is, why do we take these out of context of the whole Torah, individualize these, and we place a special bracha for those who keep it and a curse for those who will not keep it? So this is explained in the Gemara and explained in Rashi and next week's Sedra. Next week's Sedra, Parshas Nitzavim. It states in Posuk Chof Ches, Dvorim Chof Tes, Posuk Chof Ches. Hanistoras Lashem Elokeinu. What is concealed, that belongs to Hashem. V'haniglais, but what is revealed, lonu ulvanenu ad olam. That belongs to us and our children. Naasis is called divriate razes, to fulfill this entire Torah. This is what the Torah tells us. So Rashi explains. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with the people, that they are responsible to see that Torah is fulfilled in its entirety by the nation, and everyone is responsible, one for the other. Everyone is responsible not only to see that he himself fulfills Torah, but that his neighbor, his relative, his friend also fulfills Torah. And when there is evil in the nation, then everyone is responsible to participate in eradicating the evil from the land. If this is not done, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu extracts judgment from the whole nation. So Rashi brings, "Vimteimru ma biyodenu lasois ato amani shesarabim al hayochid al hirore hayochid." Maybe you'll ask, why can we be responsible? What can we do if you're going to punish everyone, even because of the individual? How can we stop that? Shnemar pen yesh bochem ish, like it stated before, that perhaps there'll be an individual that will go and serve idolatry. V'akach ulvoro es makish oretz ahi v'ahalo ein odem yodea mat meneisov shel chaveri. Who knows what is concealed in the hearts of your fellow man? So Hashem says, ein ani manish eschem ala nishtores. You don't have to worry. And what is concealed from you, I will not extract punishment. I will not extract judgment. Shein Hashem alakim. That belongs to Hashem. Behu yifra mi aisi yochid. And I, Hashem says, will extract from this individual. Avol anid lois lonu levaneinu. But what is revealed to us, that is our responsibility. Leva'er mikirbeinu, to destroy from within us. And if we will not, then we must take responsibility. And then Rashi concludes. He says, this only took place after they crossed the Jordan, and after this har grizim and har evil, the nasu arevim zelazeh, when they became responsible one for another. So that means that all of the brachas and the curses that were mentioned on the mountains, Har Evel and Har Grizim, if you study them, you'll see those are all things that someone can do secretly without anyone knowing it. So therefore, those, they gave a special bracha to someone who fulfills, and a special klola, a curse, for someone who does not fulfill that mitzvah, because there's nothing further we can do. That's the nishtores. But the niglais, but that what is revealed, that is left up to us to administer. That we have to see that the whole Torah is fulfilled by Israel, because Israel is nasu arevin zelazeh. One becomes responsible for the other. From here, we learn the principle that if someone in Klal Yisrael does not keep mitzvahs, and there's nothing we can do about it, or we don't know about it, because it's concealed, well, that was given over to what took place on the mountains, then we are free, and he will have to accept responsibility himself. But for the mitzvahs that are not kept, and we know about it, then we cannot say, well, it's not our business. It is our business. And we have to do everything possible to see that the mitzvahs are kept. And if there is something further we can do and we do not do it, then we also will be held responsible. Hanigleis lonu levaneinu. What is known to us is belongs to ourselves and Hashem and our children. Because kol Yisrael, all of Yisrael, is arevim zeh zeh. They are guarantors, and they are responsible one for the other. Now this principle tells us that the Jew does not stand alone. And you cannot say, Shalom alai nafshi, the main thing is I have to concern myself with myself. I have to worry perhaps about my family, my children. But what goes on in the rest of the community, what goes on in the rest of the nation, that's not my worry. As long as I keep myself and my house kosher, proper. From here we see not like that. But one Jew takes responsibility for another. And if he doesn't, then he, and there's something he can do about it, then he will be held also responsible. Now, this is a greater chidush. This is telling us something unique. Because we know that one Jew has to care for another Jew when it comes to tzedakah, when it comes to chesed. Someone is in need of money, you cannot say, look, that's his problem, not my problem. And the reason for that, in the parsha of tzedakah, where the Torah teaches us tzedakah, there it states, Paseach, Tiftach es yotcho, lo'ochicho ha'evyein, to your brother, consistently writes brother. And there Rashi brings, and the Maral emphasizes, that why is a Jew commanded so strongly on tzedakah? Because he is your brother. And just like one cannot turn his back on his own brother, you cannot turn your back on someone else in Klal Yisrael. And the same thing with chesed. You have to do chesed to your own brother. But here, and that's what, for example, it states, Leisamer al damre echo, you must not stand by and watch, heaven forbid, something happened to your brother. Mm-hmm. But here, we're speaking not at the physical level, we're speaking at the spiritual level. And just like if your fellow brother needs physical help, you must give it to him. Here we're talking about mitzvahs. If you need spiritual help, if you need spiritual direction, you are also responsible. That's what we see from this klal, from this principle. Now, in reality, this is what we would call a kal vachomer. This is even more rational. Because the Torah tells us in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Perechov Gimel Posuk Tes, that Moav, the nation of Moav, Hashem said they will never be able to marry into the central community of Hashem, of Israel. Never. Why? Because they were the nation that came and hired Bilam, who tried to bring Klal Yisrael to destruction through turning them against the mitzvahs of Hashem. On the other hand, it states Mitzrayim, Egypt, or Edom, they are also hated because of what they did to you. But after three generations of conversion of Gerus, they will be able to marry into the central community, Mekal Hashem of Hashem. In the Chazal say, and Rashi brings there, why were we so lenient on them? Because Egypt came to destroy your children, and Edom came to meet you with a sword. They only came to kill you in this world. So therefore Hashem was lenient. But Moab came to kill you in this world and in the next world. They turned you against the mitzvahs of Hashem. Therefore, they were forbidden forever to come into Klal Yisrael. And we see the same thing on the good side. positive side. It states, Avedis Avicho, Avedis Rabbi, Avedis Rabbi Kedemus, a Mishnah in the second parak of Masiyah, that if you find a lost article, two lost articles, one belongs to your father and the other belongs to your Rebbe, which one should you go after first? And it states that that belongs to your Rebbe, because your father brings you into this world, but your Rebbe gives you this world and the next world. So therefore, it's very rational that if we are obligated to help our fellow Jew physically, then certainly we are obligated even more so to help our fellow Jew spiritually. And the, for this reason, the Rambam brings in Perek Dalet of Hilchus Tshuva Alocha Aleph that he says that there are a number of chatoim of sins which are so great that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maspik V'yora Laseis Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow you to do tshuva for it. And amongst them is Amachti Asarabi. Someone who misdirects the tzibur and leads them away from Torah and mitzvahs. And he says, Bechlalov in there, and inclusive in this, is Amarakivasarabim Malasish mitzvah. Or if you prevent the tzibur from doing a mitzvah, or Hamates Chaveiro Miderech Tovalero, or you mislead your friend and you influence him to go off the path of Torah. That these Averas are so great that HaKadosh, even though if you would harm your fellow man, which is a great Avera, still we don't find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make it difficult for you to do tshuva. But when you harm your fellow man, and certainly if you harm the Rabbi, the Tzibur, the community, spiritually, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at that sin, that Avera, so greatly that he makes it difficult for you to do tshuva. And the source of this is the Gemara in Masechta Yuma, Daf Pei Zayin Omer Aleph. And just to the opposite, we find there the Gemara says, "Amazakes Arabi Menchik Baal Yodai." Someone, what happens if someone leads the community towards mitzvahs? He directs them to Hashem. Then Ein Chet Baal Yodai, Kodesh Baruch Hu will see that no sin will come to this person's hands. And the Mishnah in Masechta Ovis, Perikei Mishnah Yudches, adds to it. It says, Moshe was this type. Zocho, Vizika Sarabi. Moshe not only helped Yisrael physically, but he helped Yisrael spiritually. He taught them Torah. Zchus Harabim Toliboy. All the mitzvahs that the rabbim, that the tzibur will do, he has a schusin. He gets merit for it. And that will always protect him. And that's the same with every individual who helps someone else do mitzvahs, and especially a tzibur, a community, then schus harabim toliboy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see, will protect him from chait, and he will have merit in all the mitzvahs that someone else does. From here, we can assess what a great mitzvah it is to teach Torah to someone. That is known as the greatest chesed, because here you're not only giving someone this world, you're giving him the next world also. That's why the Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah, in Perek Lulav Arava, it states in the Esh Yischayel, it states Torah Chesed al Lishena. A Torah of Chesed is on her tongue. Pia Poska Bechochma, her mouth opens with wisdom, and a Torah of Chesed, of loving kindness, is on her tongue. So the Gemara says, what is a Torah Chesed? Is there a Torah which is not Chesed and a Torah that is Chesed? Yes. So someone who learns Torah for himself only, that's called the Torah not of Chesed. But someone who learns Torah lalamdo, learns Torah to teach to others, that's Torah chesed. There, that's a different Torah, and becomes a Torah of chesed for others. Now, the reason why we find that one Jew is responsible for others, the Maral gives the reason, because we are all like one body. Israel is Echad. And it's impossible for part of the body to be suffering that the rest of the body doesn't feel it. A person can have a pain in any part of his body. And the other Evorim, the other limbs, cannot say, that's not my problem, that's his problem. Because since the whole body is one, so therefore this goes through the entire body. The same thing with Klal Yisrael. If there's a part of Yisrael that is suffering, if there's a part of Yisrael that is sick, this is a part of Yisrael that's spiritually sick. This affects the health of the entire body. In the Tanakh is brought a story of Pilegish Begiva, that there was a person who had a concubine, and she was out one night. And she was. This took place in the Shevet Binyamin, in the territory of the tribe of Binyamin. And some ruffians came, and they started to mock her, and they started to abuse her, and they ended up that they assaulted her, and they raped her, and ended up they murdered her. And when the rest of Israel heard this. And today these are everyday happenings here in South Africa and all over the world, but not in Israel. And when they heard this, they demanded immediate justice. It was like the case of Shimon and Levi, when Hamor, the prince, abducted Dinah. They went in, they annihilated the city. They said something like, this will not be permitted to carry on. And they came to the heads of Binyamin, and they reported this, and they said, we want immediate justice. The heads of Binyamin didn't take it so seriously. It's very similar to what's happening today in many places. The heads of Binyamin didn't take it so seriously. So the rest of Klal Yisrael were outraged. They called a meeting together, and they went up to war against Binyamin. They went up to war against Binyamin, and a great war broke out for allowing something like this to happen in Israel. After the war, it caused enormous bloodshed. They were even were more angry at Binyamin, because not only was the life of this one woman lost, but look how much more bloodshed was caused now. So they put a cherub, they excommunicated the whole tribe of Binyamin, and they said that none of Israel will be allowed to give their daughters in marriage to Binyamin. Evidently Binyamin didn't have enough daughters to go around, and this was a strong punishment against them. This went on for a long time. Finally, they got together, and they were mater the neder. They annulled the vow, and they said, "Let Binyamin come back and marry with us again." Actually, this is one of the things which took place on the 15th of Av. That's why the Gemara brings it. The 15th of Av, Kam Vishvas of Av, was such a day of joy. The Malbim brings, why did they annul it? Why didn't they carry it out? They saw Binyamin was in danger of survival. So what? He says, because they knew that the Shekhinah is only Sheira al Kol Yisrael. That the Shekhinah in Israel only when all of the Shvatim are represented. If you cut off part of Israel, that's cutting off part of the Shekhinah, and there will not be the total Shekhinah there. That again is this Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh. And actually we find that this is the great difference, because I'll tell us, between Avraham and his predecessors. They were tzaddikim, they were righteous ones before Avraham. There was Noach. Noach, through him the whole world was saved. There was Shem, the son of Noach. There was Aver, his son. And they had yeshivas. They were righteous people. Why did Avraham stand out? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham. So the Medrash tells us, since we'll explain you the difference between Avraham and Noach and the rest. It states at the beginning of Parshas Noach, Esel Akim Hisalech Noach. Hashem walked with Noach. An illustration. If you have a very, very dark street and a servant is walking through it, a servant of the king, and he cannot see, so the king comes and lights up the way for the servant. Es Elokim Yisalech Noach. Hashem helped Noach walk upright. By Avraham, though, there the illustration is just the opposite. You have a very dark street. The servant comes and lights up the street for the king. But the servant came and led the king, led the way for the king. Not that the king came and led the way for the servant. Noach and the others, they were great enough to keep themselves kosher, to keep themselves upright in a world that was evil, which was a great achievement, because in a world that's evil, usually takes everyone with them. So they were able to keep themselves upright. Noach was ish tzaddik, but they stopped there. Long as their home was proper, their home was kosher, as long as they and their family were right, look, there's nothing I can do about the rest of the world. That's their problem. Kodesh Baruch Hu had to light up the way for them. Avraham, when he saw a world of idolatry, he wasn't satisfied that he didn't serve idolatry. He went to war against the world. He went to war against his father. He went to war against all of the nobility of the city. It states he went to war against great kings. He debated with the great philosophers of the time. And he went from city to city and Medina to Medina, where it says, Vayikra b'shem Hashem, he called out in the name of Hashem. There HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't have to light up the way for him. He lit up the way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought Hashem's name into the world until he changed the world. And there HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're the one I want. When he said, Vayhi or at creation, let there be light, Zu Avraham, that will be Avraham, that will bring light to a world, not merely light to himself. The Litvisha used to have an expression, used to hear it in the yeshiva. The expression was, as a tzaddik in pelts. Tzaddik in pelts means, pelts was a big fur coat. A tzaddik with a big fur coat. So we used to ask them, what does that mean? They used to say that a tzaddik who warms up, upvarms sich allein. He has a big fur coat where he brings heat to he himself, but to anyone else he doesn't bring heat to. He's a tzaddik for himself, but not for any other Jew. And that's how they used to say, Neach is when a grace a tzaddik over a tzaddik in pilz. Neach was a great tzaddik, but a tzaddik for himself. Abraham was a tzaddik for the world. Now, how does a person fulfill this mitzvah? Great mitzvah where he has to take responsibility not for himself alone but for everyone in Israel. One of the ways it's brought in Parshas Kedoshim by Yikra Yutes, the Rambam brings it in Hilchos Deos Perek Vav Halacha Vav. This is the mitzvah of Teichacha, the mitzvah of rebuke. Hecheach Teichiach Es Hamishecha. You shall rebuke your fellow man when you see he's doing something wrong. You must rebuke him. You must tell him. You must direct him in the right way. However, the Gemara brings in Masechta Erechi in Tesayin Amud Beis, and this is way in their time yet. Omer Reb Tarfon. Reb Tarfon said, "Toma ani, I am in wonderment. Im yesh bedor hazeh, if there's anyone in this generation that's capable of giving rebuke." Why? Because when you tell someone, "You got to do this better," he turns around and, "Who are you to tell me what to do better?" And he points at you what you're doing wrong. To give rebuke, first of all, you have to be perfect yourself. And secondly, it's a whole art that the person should listen to you. And even Reb Lezer ben Azariah said that. He said, "Toma ani, I'm in wonderment, is there someone really in our generation that is capable of giving rebuke?" And this was in his time yet. Because what is the mitzvah of rebuke? Not that you have an opportunity to darshan, not that you have an opportunity to exercise your voice. No, the idea of rebuke is to guide someone who's misguided. And if he ends up misguided after you, after all the guidance, what did you achieve? And the Mesillas Yeshorim brings, we quoted this just recently, he brings in Perechov, Mishkol HaChassidus, in this Sefer, it's Daf Kufei, he's speaking about Chassidus. Person comes to perfection, to saintliness, he says, you have to know when. For example, the Torah says, Hecheach Techiach Es Hamishecha. But at the same time, it says, Veleisisov Olav Chet. When you rebuke your fellow man, you must be very, very careful not to do an Aveira by it. He says, for example, he says, what happens if you rebuke someone, you see that not only you're not succeeding, but you're succeeding in pushing him further away from Torah and mitzvahs. He resents it. And his resentment drives him even further away. So he says something that we have to be very cognizant of. Not only you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of rebuke, but you are the cause of his averus, and you will be accountable for it. Because with your words, you've driven him further away now to do averus. There, the true chosid will be silent. You see someone that you cannot change through talking to him, then the mitzvah is to be silent. And that's what the Gemara brings in Yevamah Samachay, Kishem Shemitzvah Leimadovar Anishma. So, just like it's a mitzvah to tell someone when he will listen to you, Kach Mitzvah Shalei Leimar Esheinanishma. So is it a mitzvah to keep quiet and not tell someone when you know he's not going to listen to you, because the purpose of rebuke is not to give you a chance to say a speech. It's a very interesting story with the Chofetz Chaim, beautiful story that I once read. The Chofetz Chaim was traveling and he came to an inn. It was a cold winter night. Came to an inn, ordered a meal, and there in the inn was a person who was a very grubber person, an ishbar and amoritz, a very barren person, a very coarse individual. And he didn't know if he was Jewish or not. And this person, he was dressed in a coarse manner. He spoke in a coarse manner. And he was verbally abusing the waitress. He was telling the young waitress, hurry up, what are you taking so much time for? So forth and so on. And he was gulping down his meal and he was drinking beer. And it was bothering the Chofetz Chaim, something like this. And his language was that of a coarse language. It could have been an evil pair, a cursing. So finally the Chofetz Chaim couldn't take it anymore. And he almost brought the waitress to tears. So he calls over the innkeeper and he says, who is that guy? Yaid, is he Jewish? So the guy says, yes, very much so. So he says, well, why does he act like that? He says, he's been in the Russian army for years. They used to abduct Jewish children, forcibly take Jewish children into the army at a young age, and they would have to serve for 25 years. This is why many Jews left, got out, and came to America and South Africa. He says he grew up with the Russian soldiers and the Cossacks, and this is what do you expect? He says, a grober young never a grober Jew. He says, so he told, you know, he can wanted to console the Chofetz Chaim. He says, look, he'll finish his meal, he'll go. So the Chofetz Chaim says, no, he says, I would like to talk to him. Innkeeper became very, very worried, because he figured this guy will talk to the Chofetz Chaim, who knows what he can say. He's liable to throw curses at him, insults, who knows what. So he told the Rebbe, no, don't talk to him. Let him finish his meal, let him get out of here and finished. He comes off and finished. So Chofetz Chaim says, no, I want to speak to him. Go over to his table and tell him that I'd like to talk to him. I'll come to see him, or he can come over to my table. So finally the innkeeper reluctantly went over to the guy. So the Chofetz Chaim sits down, he came to his table. He says, tell me, my friend, my son, what is your name? And so forth and so on. And what have you been doing for so many years? So he told him, I've been in the Russian army. Where have you been? He told him. And he said, I understand. You're Jewish? He says, yes, very sure I'm Jewish. So the Chofetz Chaim says, you know, I admire you. And I have a great deal of respect for you. So the guy looks at him and he says, why? He says, I don't know if I could do what you did. What do you mean? He says, if I grew up from a young boy in the Russian army and all I saw were Russians, yet Russian soldiers yet, where they fought and they murdered and they looted and who knows what else they did, and I grew up like this for so many years, I cannot say on myself that I would still be a Jew. And here, after you, so many years, 15, 20 years, you grew up like that, and you still say you're a Jew and you're proud to be a Jew. I admire you. I respect you for that. And the man was just shocked. Nobody ever spoke to him like that before. And they got into a conversation, and he asked him about all of his adventures and so forth and so on. The end is, he became very, very good friends with the Chofetz Chaim, and he became a Shemir Teiru Mitzvah. This is the art of Echeach Techiach Hasamisecho, how to rebuke. Now, this quality, the quality of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, where one must accept responsibility not only for himself and his family, but all Yisrael, this was something which was very, very central amongst the Lithuanian Jews. When they built their yeshivas, they didn't build yeshivas for their own family. They built yeshivas to teach Torah to the whole world. And this is why their yeshivas became yeshivas for the whole world. The Gaon, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, written on him stories, he wasn't interested merely in himself. He learned Torah. He learned for all of Israel. He was interested in Jews all over the world, in their well-being, in their Torah mitzvahs. When his Talmud, his disciple, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, went and initiated something very unique in those times, he built the Volozhiner Yeshiva, which was a unique type of central yeshiva. It did not exist in those days. It was a different system in those days. But a type of central yeshiva that served as the forerunner for the modern Lithuanian yeshiva that was to become so famous throughout the entire world. And he did this through the instructions of the Gaon. This was for this reason. They saw that a whole generation of Jews was weakening all over the world. And in Lithuania and Poland, where it was most intense, the Yiddishkeit was most intense, was weakening. You had the movements of the Maskilim, you had the movements of the socialism, and so forth and so on. And they wanted to do something. They didn't take their own families and withdraw and make them kosher. They wanted to do something for Yiddishkeit all over. And they went to build this type of yeshiva. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he was their disciple. He went all the way to Germany to teach Torah. Germany at that time was the weakest link of Yiddishkeit. That was where the birth, the cradle of the Reform movement. His disciples. One example, Reb Lezer Gordon, tells the Reb Lezer who founded Yeshivas Telz. His disciples went all over to Bimarbitz Teira to teach Torah. They went to Latvia. They went to Germany. They went to England. They went to Eretz Yisrael. They went to America. They came to South Africa. Rabbi Yitzchak Kosofsky, Zichron Livracha, first chief rav of the Ashkenazi community, of the Litvish community, here in South Africa, was a disciple of Rabbi Lezer Gordon, and he came to South Africa through the influence of Rabbi Chaim Eiser, who was the rav of Vilna. It would have been very easy to say in those days, stay in Vilna, stay in Litter. No, he told them to go. There are Jews there. It's our responsibility for them. We must strengthen them. We must teach them Torah. After the war, when all the yeshivas were forced to leave, they were uprooted, whatever there was left of them. Most of the yeshivas that came from other parts of the world, or most of the Jews that came from other parts of the world, congregated in America, New York. They didn't want to go out to New York. They said, you can't be a Jew outside of New York. Even though there were millions of Jews in America outside of New York. But they said, you can't be a Jew. When Pels came, they went to Cleveland. There are a few reasons to go to Cleveland. But one of the reasons were, we didn't come to build Yiddishkeit in New York. We came to build Yiddishkeit in America. Similar stories are said in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the Haredim, the Frum Jew, was congregated in Yerushalayim. The rest of Eretz Yisrael was a writer. When the Chazainish came, he was a Jew from Vilna, outside of Vilna. When he came to Eretz Yisrael, he moved towards the area of Tel Aviv, moved to Bnei Brak. That time Bnei Brak was like Tel Aviv. And I've heard from many Gedalim where he told them, he said, Torah must be spread throughout all of Eretz Yisrael, not only Yerushalayim. And the Ponovitch Rov went to Bnei Brak to build his yeshiva. And this is what they instructed their Talmidim. It was over 45 years ago already that Tells sent a Talmud to South Africa. It was in the 50s. South Africa approached Tells. They need someone to build Torah here. So they didn't say, it's not our responsibility. South Africa is not ours. They sent someone here. When I was in the yeshiva, you had both. You had in New York this mentality. Look, we have to take care of ourselves and our children. We have to withdraw. Forget about the rest. But this was not the attitude at all of the Litvisha. Tells was just the opposite. We used to hear the old Rosh Hashivas. They used to say consistently, Nochazach Hurban, after such a destruction, such a holocaust, Yede Eina Dav Zitzin and Learn, and everybody has to sit and learn. With grace Hasmoda, with great Hasmoda, with great labor and diligence, who gain grace in Torah, and he should become great in Torah, who gain Umatum, Gans America. They must go all over America to Shafin Yiddishkeit and Torah, to build Yiddishkeit and Torah. They thought there were no gvulim, there are no boundaries. Wherever Jews are, you have to be concerned with them, and you have to do something about it. It's interesting also, when I and my family were coming here to South Africa, this is almost 25 years ago, everyone we met told us we're making a grave error. How can you go to South Africa? First of all, how can you be a Jew there? What's going to be with your children? Secondly, it's dangerous. There's going to be a revolution. Right? The whole business, this was 25 years ago. When we were in Yerushalayim, there, it was actually Sukkot. And we went to visit Tel Aviv, and we had lunch in the sukkah of the Devora Hotel. And there we saw a Jew, very, very noble looking Jew, very, very a Jew with a very, very presence, a wonderful presence, warm, friendly, beaming smile. I'm sitting at another table, and I asked someone, who is that? And they told me that's Rav David Lifshitz. Today he's not living, he died a few years ago. When he died, this is a few years ago, he was in his 90s. He was already an old man then. Rav David Lifshitz, who was one of the Rosh Yeshivas at Yeshivas of Yitzchak Ochanan in New York, Yeshiva University. But originally he was in Tsuvalkarov. Tsuvalk was a city in Lithuania that had about 25-30 shuls, and he was the rabbi of the whole city. And I've heard of him, but I never met him. So I went over and introduced myself. So he asked me, what were you doing, this and that? I told him, well, we're going to South Africa. What for? I have a job to teach Torah. So he insisted that I, with my Rebbetzin and our family, we must come over to his table and sit down with him. And he spoke to us for a long time, maybe 30-40 minutes. He says, you don't know what kind of mitzvah you're doing. You're doing such a great mitzvah. He says, when we were in Lithuania, he says, we didn't want to come to America. This was before the war. And he started to tell me over, he was in the house of the Kovnarov. Rav Shapiro. The Dvar Avrom, Rav Avrom Kana Shapiro. And now he told him, you must go to America. He was telling he and his other friends, you must go to America to be Marvitz Torah. They didn't want to. He says, you must go. And he says, look what we built up out of nothing in America. But he didn't stop there. He came to Eretz Yisrael for Ezra's Torah. He was the head of Ezra's Torah. Ezra's Torah was an organization that would help needy Talmidei Chachomim and their families, and they were launching a building project, building apartments. And he says, that Saturday night there's a Malava Malka in his honor. And Chief Rabbi Unterman is going to be there. And Rav Zsolter Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rav Yerushalayim, is going to be there. He says, you must come. You and your Rebbetzin must come. I says, why? He says, you must be there. All right, we came. He took me by the hand. He took me over to Rav Unterman. He took me over to Rav Zsolter. He took me over to everybody there. He says, at gates of South Africa, so Shafin Teira is going to South Africa to do Torah. And he encouraged in every way. While everyone was telling us, what are we doing? He encouraged in every way what we're doing. This was their method. This was their method. And you always found, someone once commented, he says, I noticed, he says, by the Jews, many Jews that came from other areas, but there could have been a reason for it, because they lived under the Reform movement and so forth. Well, in Lithuania, there was never another religious movement. There was only one type of Yiddishkeit there. There were secular movements, but not another religious movement. But at any rate, he says, you know, I noticed in other areas, he says, that people who were very frum, if they had branches of their family that were not frum, they didn't want to have anything to do with them. They wrote them off, finished. He says, but by the literature, I never noticed that. That even if they had branches of their family that were not frum, they constantly tried to bring them closer. They constantly kept contact with them. They constantly worried about them. I heard a wonderful story here from a lady. A lady, the Ponovitch Yarov, used to come to visit. She told me Ponovitch Yarov came here after the war and he told her a story. He says, when he came to America, in Eretz Yisrael, in South Africa, and he met many Jews from Ponovitch, from his city, that he knew. And he was shocked. He says, Gevon Goyim. In Ponovitch, he says, they were such fine Fruma Jews. They went to America, maybe South Africa. He says, Gevon Goyim. He says, they didn't keep Shabbos, they didn't keep this. But then he says, Avavoske Nechton, fought Meine Goyim, He says, what can I do? The minor goyim. He says, they're my balabati, my people. I have to take care of them. This is what he told the lady. It was a different attitude. He says, this makes my responsibility even greater. Kol Yisrael arevim ze leze. Aidi states, harchek mishochein ra, that you must distance yourself from evil. That's where no longer can you have influence over them. Then you must distance yourself. But for example, the Gemara brings an Aaron when he used to see Novus the Rebnosin, he used to see a Rosho, he used to go give him shalom to try to bring him close to Torah. Says having me dosa shall Aaron at Cain, you should have the qualities of Aaron at Cain that was Av Esabrius umakarvan Latora. So there they explain how was he able to do this. It says Harchik Mishochin Ra Al Tishabil Rosho, you must distance yourself. It says he saw, he felt there he could have influence. When one can have influence, then he must take responsibility. Another important principle in how one can have influence over another, and this also the Shivan tells, and the Litvisha were very, very cognizant of this, is the Gemara in Masech the Yuma and Av Peivov, and the Rambam brings it in Yisori HaTorah at the end of Perakei. To rebuke someone, you have to be a great master, a great artist, like we saw. That you need a Chofetz Chaim for. He was able to rebuke people, and they walked away feeling wonderful from it. But many times, one can have influence on others without saying a word. Just through his presence and his actions. Without saying anything. The Gemara brings there, what is Kiddush Hashem? Gemara says, what is sanctifying Hashem's name? Someone goes and studies Torah. And then he goes and he dresses nicely. And his Masir Matan, his business dealings with people, are noble. And he's a man of integrity. And he speaks kindly to everyone. And he helps people. What do people say? They say, that person went to study Torah, and look what has become of him. I also want to be like that. I also want my children to be like that. Mora says, Heichidomi Kiddush Hashem, this is a Kiddush Hashem. One many times can have more influence on others through his own actions and presence than even without saying, than through his own words. It was for this reason that Reb Chaim Volozhin laid down a principle. He says, the Talmidim of his yeshiva, and they must have come from the Gaon, he was the closest disciple to the great Gaon. He says, the Talmidim of his yeshiva have to be impeccable. He says, wherever they go, they have to command respect and admiration from everyone that sees them. So people will say, and this was a time when the crown of Torah was fallen, so people will say, look how great the Torah is. Because that's someone who studied Torah. And this became a implanted, enshrined in the Litvishi Yeshivas. Tells Slobodka, told me in Slobodka in Europe, says there, Yeshiva Bocha looked like a prince, a nobleman, the way he walked through the streets. The Mesillas Yesharim brings on, I think we mentioned this last week on page on in that same perek, that Kufov, he says, even though it's a mitzvah, that we must not be intimidated when it comes to doing mitzvahs, and even in the presence of others we must do our mitzvahs and ignore what they might say, he says that's the mitzvah itself. But what we add to the mitzvah, the chassidus that we add to the mitzvah, he says there, if that's going to cause people to laugh, or if that's going to have bad effects come from it by others, he says then the mitzvah is, you don't do it, you just do the basic mitzvah. The chassidus you do in the privacy of your own home. He says, because causing people to mock you, causing people to have bad impressions from you, that's a great aveira. Because they're doing an aveira and you're causing them to do it. It was for this reason that Moshe Feinstein, also this was his attitude, always, consistently. He writes in a tshuva. Someone writes him a question. He says, I davened in a shul. This took place many years ago. I davened in a shul. But he says, the people in the shul, he says, they don't act like one shul. They talk during davening. They're not so serious. They tell one another jokes and so forth and so on. I'm thinking of leaving the shul and going to some shtibl, some place where I don't have to put up with this. I would like your advice. So the Meisher writes back. He says, look, if it's a shul that is changing the davening, or changing the integral structure of the shul, that's a different story. Then you must not daven there. But if it's a shul, that's a kosher shul, that's a kosher davening, except the people are not acting like they should, he says, in the first instance, you should stay there and try to influence them to do right. That's what you should do. No, don't go away. If all the good ones go away, who's going to be left? Just the Latzonim. He says, you should stay there and show them the right way. And don't say that, who am I to change them? Because when it comes to good, when it comes to Torah, a little light dispels much darkness. This is what he wrote him. If it comes to the point where you feel that your presence there is doing nothing, and it's not doing nothing, and you'll never change them, and there's no difference if you're there or not there, or so forth and so on, and you can't take it so anymore, all right. But he says, you don't walk away so lightly. In other words, the Jew has a responsibility. He cannot walk away. Maybe one day he'll be held accountable for it. Kodesh Baruch Hu will ask, well, why did you walk away? You were in a position to do good for others. You were worried about yourself. This is what they would call it, tells a tzaddik in pelts. You were interested in warming yourself up. My father, Olav Shalom, he used to daven at three shuls. Three shuls. And it was a big inconvenience to daven at three shuls. And I used to ask him, what do you got to daven at three shuls for? One during the week, and one Shabbos, and one Mincha. So he told me, he was the founder of the day school, of the Jewish day school in Minneapolis. And he took upon his shoulders, he was a professional, he was an accountant. He took on his shoulders, though, to worry about the budget of the day school. And he says, the more shuls I daven in regularly, He says, the closer and more contact I have with these people, and I can direct them where to give their funds to. And this way I can help with the day school. If I will just go where it's more convenient for me to go, he says, meanwhile, we will lose that support. Therefore, this is what he did most of his life. So this is the great mitzvah, that a person must not look only at his own Yiddishkeit or that of his family, but also he must constantly worry about the others, to strengthen the others, to direct the others. The old Jews used to have an expression, Mechazek Zayin Hayid. Strengthen another Jew, what can be a greater mitzvah? It's with this in mind that we can take it to task. Unfortunately, some of the things that are common, some common things that are happening in the community, when it comes, South Africa is going through a very difficult stage at this time. Not the first time. There's always these cycles. And you have a number of people, individuals, sometimes even organizations, some of them here, some of them outside, that come in. And instead of strengthening the community, they weaken the community. And they give no consideration to this. You've got people that come in or here, and they constantly influence people. You have to leave. You have to go away. You can't stay in South Africa. And they talk to good Balabatim. They talk to young people. They don't talk to the old people in the old age home, no, that they don't talk to. Talk to their children. They'll talk to youngsters, they'll talk to fine Balabatim, fine communal leaders. They'll talk to Talmidim in the yeshivas here. You must go away. It's a mitzvah. Can't remain. Go here, go there. Now, when it comes to a question if a person should leave or not, there are no general answers. So on such a serious question, you must judge every case in its own individual merit, own individual circumstances. But unfortunately, even tragically, you hear today, especially it always gets strong when you hit cycles like this, well, this doesn't even become a consideration. When they're talking about staying versus leaving, it's not even a consideration. What is your staying here doing for the community as far as Yiddishkeit is concerned? It's not a consideration. And so far that if you would bring it up, they would say, look, that's not your responsibility. Someone will tell one of these people, look, I think my staying here is very important because I think I have an influence. I think I'm an influence on my shul. I think I'm an influence on this. I think I'm an influence on my family when it comes to Yiddishkeit. They'll tell you, look, that's not your responsibility. How far our door, our generation has fallen. Well, that's not even a consideration. And we see that was not the way of the others, of the other generation at all. And mitzvah's aliyah is no justification for this. The mitzvah of aliyah is a great, great mitzvah. But there are other considerations also. There are countless stories of Gedalei Olam, great sages, but all their life wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Chofetz Chaim writes on himself, he always wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. But his responsibilities will not allow him to. He gives a rebuke to a rov in a city when he hears he's going to Eretz Yisrael. He says, who's going to take care of the shul? Who's going to take care of the community? Who's going to take care of the dafshir, of the mikvah? Reb Lazer tells her, his greatest question is brought, as he was offered to become the rov of Yerushalayim. He struggled with it. He could bring Torah to Yerushalayim, but at the same time, what about his responsibilities there? I remember once an old Yerushalmi, even the old Yerushalmi came here once, and he was in a community, and he says, I have regards for you from the Rav there. And then he tells me, and he looks at me shocked, he says, he's told me he's going away to Eretz Yisrael. What will be with his community? Who's going to take care of them? Eshaft Yiddishkeit, he's taking care of Yiddishkeit there. But today, there's not even a consideration. If you tell someone, they'll say, that's not your responsibility. Rav Goldwicht, Zeichet Tzarek Livrocho, Rosh Yeshiva of Yavna, Yavna became a yeshiva from nothing. A yeshiva of 400, 500 Talmidim. And when Goldrich built the yeshiva, he told me personally, he says he worked together with the Chazaynish in building it. When he was here many, many years ago, he told Bochrim, he says, if someone can learn here and in Eretz Yisrael, Besedor, better he should learn here. Because Anders learned in Eretz Yisrael. There are others who are learning in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have, so others are worrying about Torah there. But who will worry here? When the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael was here on his first visit, Reb Lowy, he said a most magnificent story where you see how the old Jews used to think. He went to visit Russia. This is the time when the Iron Curtain was still up. He went to visit Russia, and he spent the Shabbos with the Jews in Moscow. And he says, Friday night he was with them, and Shabbos he was with them. And then they came to him and said, come to Shalashudis. And they had a mincha, and he darshan, and he had a Shalashudis. And afterwards, he says, they won't leave him. And he says he has to go back to his hotel. He's leaving tomorrow. They walked him back to his hotel, and they said, Rebbe, then there was one Jew that wouldn't leave, and he says, Rebbe, oh, he says, you'll go away. He says, what will be with us? He says, you were here, he says, the Shabbos was a Shabbos, the davening was a davening, the learning was a learning, the Zmiris was a Zmiris. So Rabbi Lau, the chief rabbi, turns to this Jew and he says, why are you staying here? Come with me. I have enough influence that I can get you a visa and I'll fix you up anywhere you want in Eretz Yisrael. And he was thrown by the Jew's answer. The Jew said, I cannot leave. He says, why not? He says, because I have a daughter who Nebuch married a Russian goy. And she has one or two sons. And these sons are brought up by the Russian goy. And they come to visit me. The daughter comes every few weeks, doesn't live in Moscow, and she comes to visit me with the children, and I take the children on my knee and I say Shema Yisrael with them. If I leave, who will do that? How selfish can one be? This is what he told the chief rabbi. How selfish can one be? This is the way the Amalekayim, the old Jews, used to think. And not only that, but this kind of attitude
There are many people here that can't leave. They don't want to leave. Or they cannot. For one of many, many reasons. This attitude weakens them. Creates a great pessimism and darkness in the community. And it states in this week's Sedra, Tachas asher lo avaratos Hashem elakecho besimcha v'tuv levov. A Jew has to be happy where he is. He has to be happy that he can be a Jew. Baruch Hashem. There's one sitting at a table, the Simcha, long time ago. Rabbonim, and each one was taking a turn, telling how bad things are, and the late Rabbi Shimonovitz was sitting there, and he didn't say anything. So they asked him, Rabbi Yaakov, why don't you say anything? He says, Supalin that came Kemelkum. He says, look, I live through Poland. He says, no matter what the problems are here, it's not Poland. A Jew can be a Jew. One, when he comes into a community, someone told me that they speak, he saw where they're trying to convince in Eretz Yisrael a shliach from there to come here because how wonderful the community is. But then they try to convince those who are here to run away because how bad the community is. A Jew has to have in mind that his job is to strengthen other Jews and to strengthen Torah where they are. Yes, many, many mitzvahs. But everything must be taken into consideration. Because when a Jew strengthens Yiddishkeit wherever he is, even if it's by saying something with a word, that's a mazakas harabim. It's chus harabim to liboy. Heaven forbid to the contrary. So this is what we learn from this sedra that called Yisrael are arabim zelazer. We must are all responsible to each other, not only physically but spiritually also, and we must do whatever we can for each other.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.